Today we'll be in 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. On this Father's Day, some of us have been blessed with tremendous models of godly men, of a good father. But there are others who have been ignored, neglected, abused, and abandoned. Some of you have lost your dad, and some of that have maybe even been recently, and for some it's been years and years and years. And maybe as you think about this, maybe Father's Day is not a happy day for you. I sincerely hope that you will allow our Heavenly Father to fill that void in your life if that's the case. May you experience the truth of Psalm 68, verse 5. A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in His holy dwelling. My guess is that some of the men here today don't really like attention on Father's Day. Because frankly, we know that we're not maybe always doing all that we're supposed to be doing. In many churches, women are celebrated on Mother's Day and men are slammed on Father's Day. I don't really intend on doing that today. But if the Holy Spirit slams you, I'll leave that between you and God, okay? This message today is geared not just to fathers, but to men in general. Now women, you get to listen in, and maybe today because of the way you're all sitting, this can't happen as much, but try not to elbow the person next to you, the man next to you. And so I saw some of you men start to slip over a little further away, and just checking out, you know, we got social distancing, and then you want to have elbow. There goes Chris right now, see? He's getting closer, but not too close, I see. Okay. Oh. Now, we're going to hit the pause button on preaching from the Gospel of Mark. Last week, we had our graduation service, and Brother Shane brought a powerful message last week. And today, we have the Father's Day message, and then next Sunday, if you're a longtime attender at Hills Chapel, you know that next Sunday is the deacon's annual sermon. And so there's going to be a little break, but we will be coming back to the Gospel of Mark in a few weeks. And so if you're wondering about that, we will get back to it. Now, let me set the scene a little bit. David, King David, has been serving as king, and the country of Israel is now in a precarious position because he's close to death. Now listen to the charge that he gives to his son Solomon in verses 1 through 3. And I titled this sermon, A Dad's Final Words. As the time approached for David to die, he ordered his son Solomon, "As for me, I'm going the way of all the earth. Be strong and be a man and keep your obligation to the Lord your God to walk in His ways and to keep His statutes, His commands, His ordinances, and decrees. This is written in the law of Moses, so that you will have success in everything you do and wherever you turn." David has reached the end of his long and eventful life, a life that has many victories, but also many defeats, a life that at times have been pleasing to the Lord, but also times of him being rebuked by the Lord. Times when he is a good husband and times when he is a bad husband. Times of being a good dad, but also times of being an absent and a very weak dad. Kind of sounds like all of us, doesn't it? The good and the bad and the ugly. Now, I want us to notice first that this is not a suggestion. Notice as David is getting ready to die, he ordered his son Solomon. This is not going to be a suggestion that he's given him. He's ordered Solomon. And David is directing his son Solomon to do three things. First of all, he says, be strong. This has the idea of being courageous and reminds me of what Moses said to Joshua in Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread for them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. We have a clue about what Solomon thought of himself in 1 Kings 3:7 when he said, I am but a little child. I do not know how to go out or to come in. And so he's saying, I'm recognizing I need to have some growth here. But his dad is saying, you got to be a man. You need to be strong here. David hasn't always been the best dad like most of us. But knowing that he is about to die, it has a way of sharpening his clarity of what was most important. So he says, be strong. Be strong. And then what does he say? He says, be a man. The word show has the idea of becoming or to make it happen. Check out how some of these other translations say it. The New King James, prove yourself a man. NIV, act like a man. NLT, be a man. The Message, show what you are made of. Show what you are made of. God gives a mandate for men in Micah 6:8 when he says, he has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. God longs for us to be kingdom-minded men. To paraphrase Tony Evans, a wonderful African-American preacher, he says, a kingdom-minded man is the kind of man that when he hits the floor each morning, the devil says, oh, drats, he's up. When a kingdom man steps out of his door each day, heaven, earth, and hell take notice. We need to be kingdom-minded men. So we need to be strong. We need to be men. And what does the next phrase say? Basically, it's telling us to walk in obedience. We're not only told to be strong and then act like men. That wasn't enough. It's not just a matter of bucking up or manning up. We must be proactive, not passive in our obedience. Men are to keep your obligation to the Lord your God. The word keep carries the idea of persevering, guarding, maintaining in a way that is urgent, not complacent. Notice the phrase, the Lord your God, which shows that Solomon had a personal relationship with God. Listen, you will never become the man of God that God meant for you to be until you begin a relationship with Him through new birth. We are to walk in His ways. We are to keep His commandments, His statutes, His rules, His testimonies. It's only when we do that that we'll prosper and be able to pass it on to our children. Listen to Deuteronomy 4:9. Only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. Blessings come as a result of obedience. Faithfulness leads to fruitfulness. Now, so we can kind of look at what we've said so far, that basically he's telling us to show yourself a man. You must grow in your relationship with God. Stu Weber in 1997 wrote a book entitled The Four Pillars of a Man's Heart. And I think these four pillars help us to understand what David is trying to get us to do when he says, walk in the obligations of what you're supposed to do. And so I want to use those four pillars, and I'm going to do them a little bit different than what Weber did, but it's the same concepts for each one. Now I want us to look at some passages also in the book of Genesis, and they're not on your screen, but Genesis 1:27 says, so God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Every human being is created in the image of God and has value and dignity. In verse 27, it continues, male and female, He created them. We learn right away that men and women are created in the image of God. But there is a difference in the genders. Facebook may offer many different gender options as of March 2020. There are 51 options. I'm not going through all 51 options. I don't understand all 51 options. But there's 51 options according to Facebook. But God just created two, male and female. And so today we want to continue to think through what does it mean to be the man that God wants us to be. First of all, we need to be a leader. And again, to follow what he was talking about, and he actually uses the word king here, but I'm going to call it a leader. We need to be loving leaders as men. It has to do with providing. We see this in Genesis 2:15. The Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to keep it. The word work means to serve, and to keep it refers to guarding, to have charge of something. In verses 15 through 23, we see Adam's role is to name the animals and even to name Eve. This shows his authority and responsibility as a leader. Men, would you say that you are a loving leader for your wife, for your children, for your grandchildren, for those people that God has put in your life? In what ways are you leading them? Are you leading them to the throne of God? Are you leading them in faithfulness? Are you leading them as you go through life by providing the right kind of example in front of them? We need to be leaders that God can be proud of, that God can say, this man has my blessings on him because he's leading in a God-fearing way. The second pillar that Weber makes a reference to, he calls warrior, I'm going to call it protector, because I think that's what it gets down to. God set some parameters and boundaries in Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 through 17. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you must surely eat of every tree of the garden, but the tree of knowledge of good and evil that you shall not eat. For in that day you eat it, you will surely die. He was to protect his family. By the way, he did a sorry job about this. But he was to be a protector. Adam was designed to protect and to safeguard his wife from harm. There's no children at this point. And Tony Evans once again puts it this way. Men, you are in a battle. You are in a war. Lives will be lost. Eternities will be shaped. But we are to protect our families. Some men are not doing all they can to protect their families. We need to help protect our children and not let anything else of the world snatch them away from us. 2 Samuel 23 describes a group of mighty warriors that served King David. God is looking for mighty warriors who will serve King Jesus by protecting and preserving life, protecting our wives, protecting our children. Are you using your position as the man of the household to protect your family? Stop being passive. We are born to defend women and children. We are to stand up for them. Inside the chest of every man should beat the heart of a warrior. John Eldridge says, as men, we have a venture to live, a battle to fight, and a beauty to rescue. Men in Christ, are you the protector of your wife and of your children and your grandchildren? In what ways are you protecting those that you serve? To show yourself a man, you must grow yourself in God to seek to be what He wants us to be. And the third pillar is that we need to be a teacher or a mentor. We are to persuade people, to lead them in the right direction. It involves teaching and mentoring those that God has placed in our lives. Adam's job was to form and educate to work with his wife, to work with his children. And he didn't do a very good job about it. A man who is a mentor, a teacher, intentionally and deliberately passes along God's truth to the next generation. Some of you will recall that I preached through the book of Proverbs back when I was pastor here at Hills Chapel. Here are some challenging words from Proverbs. Proverbs 1:10, my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent 2, in chapter 2, my son, if you receive my words, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. We need to teach our children to avoid sin. We need to teach them to fear God. Proverbs 3:1, my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. Don't forget what I've been trying to teach you. Proverbs 7:24, O son, O now listen to me and be attentive to the words of my mouth. Do not let your hearts turn away to the adulterous ways. Do not stray into her paths. We need to teach them to live moral lives. The way we teach them to live moral lives is to live one ourselves. What about you? Are you intentionally looking for ways to persuade, to mentor, to teach those that you are called to lead? What ways can you step up as your role as a teacher, a mentor, a persuader? Adam is to be a provider, a protector, a persuader, but he's also to be a partner. He's supposed to be a friend. Look at the next one in Genesis 2:18. Then the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him. Husbands are supposed to be friends with your wife. You are to be a friend to your children. We are to be there with them. Adam failed. Do we need some help over here with Miss Mary Esther? Some of our nurses. While they work with her, let me pause for just a second. We'll have a word of prayer for her. Father, we lift up Miss Mary Esther to you. We thank you for Miss Mary Esther. We appreciate her love for you. We appreciate her love for this church. And Father, for even her desire to be here even today. Father, we pray that you will be with her as she's unresponsive at this moment. We just pray that you will be with the ones that are ministering to her. And Father, we just lift her up and place her in your hands. For the name of Christ that we pray. Amen. I will continue somehow, and we'll get back while they continue to look at her and work with her. Adam failed as a faithful friend. Do you know where he was when Eve was deceived and ate of the fruit? We don't either. It might surprise you. Well, in one sense, we do. It might surprise you that he was present, but he was rather passive. He wasn't being a friend. He wasn't being a leader. He wasn't being a protector. He may have been strong, but he was certainly silent. Instead of being a faithful friend, he bailed and failed his bride. Check out Genesis 3:6. She took the fruit and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Are you a faithful friend to your family? In what ways can you grow in partnership with your wife, as a friend to your wife, as a friend to your children? To show yourself a man, you must grow yourself in God. As you ponder these pillars, maybe you're strong in one, maybe you're strong in two, but you're seeing you're lacking somewhere else. The main function of a pillar is to support a structure. How many pillars are you building your life on today? How many pillars are supporting your family? One is uncertain, two is tenuous at best, three is good, but four is certainly the best. Where are you? I find it interesting that even though Eve was deceived and ate of the fruit, Adam is the one that's held responsible. He has to give an account for both his actions and for his inaction. Look at what it says in Genesis 3:9. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, where are you? Because he knew they had sinned. Where are you, the leader? Where are you, the provider for your family, for your wife, for your children? Where are you, the protector? Where are you when you aren't protecting your wife or your children? Were you slacking off and not standing in the gap? Where were you as a mentor, as a teacher? Why didn't you, Eve, try to persuade her to do what was right? Why weren't you the mentor that you were supposed to be? Were you absent Adam when she needed a friend, when you needed, she needed you the most? Were you distant? Were you absent? Were you complacent? Why are you blaming her instead of treating her like an equal partner? Men, if you're like me, there's some days that you drop the ball. That's the bad news. But the good news is that Jesus Christ is the perfect example of a godly man. And we can look at His model. Ultimately, it's not about what you need to do, but what God has already done for you in Christ. The gospel of grace. Jesus is the ultimate leader who provides. Jesus is the one who protects. He took on death, hell, and Satan and sin and defeated them all for us. Jesus is the best teacher who persuades. Jesus is the faithful friend who partners with us in kingdom ministry. If you have not yet received Jesus Christ as your protector, provider, persuader, or partner, do that now. You will never be the man God designed you to be until you're saved. To show yourself a man, you must grow yourself in God. Let's look at some quick applications here. First of all, let's be thankful for the dads and men in your life. Be thankful for those who have been a leader, a warrior, a protector, a teacher, a friend in your life. Maybe it was your actual dad, and you can be thankful. But maybe it wasn't. But maybe God used a pastor or a youth pastor, a Sunday school teacher, a coach, a school teacher, a neighbor to fill that very important role in your life. Let us be thankful for the dads and the men that God has placed in our lives. At this time, I'd like to recognize our men, our dads. I'm going to ask our men to stand for this time for us to say thank you to them, for let us be thankful for our men and the way they serve and model life in front of us. Let's give them a round of applause. Okay. Thank you. You may be seated. So let's be thankful for the men that God has placed in our lives. Be forgiving. There are some great dads. There are some good dads. And unfortunately, there are some terrible dads. However, there are no perfect dads. Maybe you are a dad who realizes that you blew it as a dad. Ask for your children's forgiveness. Maybe you can't completely make it up with them, but maybe you can make it up with your grandchildren that God places in your life. And you can grow. Maybe you're here today and you're carrying anger and bitterness towards your dad because you had a lousy dad. My word to you is ask God to allow you to move beyond that anger and that bitterness, to move beyond those emotions to a stage of forgiveness. You say, well, he hadn't asked for forgiveness. You can still forgive. You can still forgive. By the way, let me also say that sometimes to get to that stage of forgiveness actually requires counseling. And there's nothing wrong with that. And so keep that in mind. If that's a very hard memory for you to live with, is to get help to work through that. Then I would say, let's relate well to your children. In the last verse of the Old Testament, Malachi 4:6, we hear these words, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. I've wondered why this verse comes at the very end of the Old Testament. This is God's last word for about 400 years before the Gospels come onto the scene. God's heart is for the heart, is for men's heart to be towards His children and the heart of the children to be towards the fathers. Dads, if you sense that your heart is not really into parenting and your kids don't have much to do with you, then make this verse your personal prayer. Ask God to turn your heart to your children. Ask Him to turn their hearts to you. While we cannot turn their hearts around, we are responsible to make sure that our hearts are soft towards our children. Ask you this question, when are our children stop being our children? Never. It doesn't matter how old they are, they're still your children. They still need a good dad. And I'd ask that each one of us seek to be the dad to our less than perfect children as well. Not only are we not perfect as dads, as men, but neither are our children. And we need to understand that and love them anyway. And so we need to relate well to our children. Once again, some of you go, well, I've kind of blown it with my child, my children. Make it up with your grandchildren if you can. Do all that you can to make it up with whoever you can. Then I would say, relate well to the Lord, which is what we've been building all the way through. Years ago, there was a wealthy English family that was entertaining friends at their home. The children were out swimming, and one of the children ventured into deep water and began to drown. The gardener that was nearby heard the children screaming, and he jumped into the water and he saved the child. The child's name was Winston Churchill. Deeply grateful to the gardener, the parents asked how he could ever be repaid. He hesitated, but then he said, I wish my son could go to college to someday be a doctor. And the Churchill said, he will. We will pay his way. Now, the only time I ever jumped in to save somebody from swimming, the only thing I got was an iPhone that died because I jumped in with it in my pocket. But they said, he will. We'll pay the way. Years later, Sir Winston Churchill was the Prime Minister. He became ill with pneumonia. The best physician the king could find was called to the bedside of the ailing leader. His name, Sir Alexander Fleming, the developer of penicillin, and the son of the gardener who long ago saved a drowning Winston. Churchill later said, "Rarely has a man owed his life twice to the same person." As believers, we owe a debt of gratitude and service to the Lord because He made us and He saved us. You cannot be the dad or the man that you should be without a relationship with Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the challenges here. Father, I hope that many, if not all of us really here today, can be so thankful for the dads that You have placed in our lives and that we can look at our dads and say, I was blessed because I had a strong dad. I had a man in my life. I had a man that sought to walk after You. Father, that we can look at our dads and we can say, my dad tried to do those four pillars even before the book was ever written. And we rejoice in that. Father, we pray for those men and we're so thankful for them. Father, I know I'm thankful for my dad. Father, I'm thankful for a dad that was able to admit when he didn't get it right. For a dad that sought to be what he ought to be. But Father, we also know that there's dads that maybe even right here that have blown it. Maybe they blew it 30 years ago. Maybe they blew it 30 minutes before they came to church. But Father, we confess that we're not perfect. We need your forgiveness and we need your guidance. Father, we pray for dads that recognize that they're not all they ought to be, and none of us are, that we would make a commitment to be better dads, better men, better husbands. Father, if there's any men, women, or children here that do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, may today be that day they start that walk with you. Father, may we make a commitment to be the men you want us to be, to pray for the men of our church and our communities to be the men they should be, to support our men, to mentor our men, to affirm our men. For it's in the name of Christ that we pray.